Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs. I appreciate our brother Justin sharing his remarks this morning. Very, very pointed and very important. And I thank the Lord for that. And he almost got most of a message. So I know you'd appreciate it if I just cut out a point or two and we'd get out a little early. But again, congratulations to all of our graduates. I don't think we've ever had a year where we didn't have kindergarten graduates, but we'll probably have a Calpen 4 next year. So we're looking forward to that and thank the Lord again for Bible Institute. They've got tremendous class and we'll probably have graduates next year. But I'm glad you're here this morning. Usually on this day, I try to share something that would be a challenge to the graduates, but also to us as well. So you pray for us. This is a passage of the Lord. It's one of my favorite passages. You hear me quote it quite often, say something about it. But I want us to look at it once again this morning and ask God to help us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, did I tell you the chapter already? Chapter number 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. What's wrong with doing right? Have you ever figured that out? Why is it that people don't want to live right? Is there anything in the Ten Commandments or in any of the commandments of God that are not there for our blessing and for our benefit and for the good of your family and for the good of our nation? And with that comes the blessing of God, peace, long life, and all those things. And so what's wrong with doing right? Why not just live right? Why not just live according to the law of God and receive the blessing of God? Why is it there's so much tragedy and heartache and murder and every type of crime in the world and lives wrecked? I see so many. I'm so very proud of our graduates. And I know of other young people their age who by the time they're their age have already destroyed their life. And but for the grace of God, that God would redeem them, their life is going to be one of sorrow and misery and sadness. And forever, for the rest of their life, they'll live it here on this earth, but then die and be in hell for all eternity. What's wrong with doing right? What's wrong with getting right with the Lord and being blessed and living right? Nobody has more fun than a Christian. Nobody has more joy than a Christian. Nobody has more peace than a Christian. No one is more successful or has a better work ethic or a better neighbor than Christians. What's wrong with doing right? And that's what he's challenging here for us to do right. Pick up at verse number 3. But let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. What's wrong with doing right? If you'll do right and you'll recognize and keep mercy and truth and live for God and seek the Lord, he's promised you that you'd have favor and good understanding with God, walk in relationship with the one who controls the tides, who causes the sun to rise and to set, who can't put all the stars in the sky, the one who has an infinite supply. You'd be in good standing with him if you do that. What's wrong with just living right? What's wrong with getting right with God and serving him? Notice, if you will, please, in verse number 5, we begin this thought that I often write in cards for graduates and other people. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary in his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help me. Lord, I'm so blessed this morning to have known most of these young people from the time they were kindergartners. Lord, I'm thankful for their lives. Thank you for their work, for all that they've done to accomplish their graduations from high school and college and for master programs, and some I know going on even further into other programs. I pray, God, you'd bless and guide them. Our Father, the principles that I've just read are not just for graduates, certainly, but it's for all of us. And I pray, God, you'd help me. Lord, I'm blessed this morning to be able to bow before you and, God, to confess that there's no good thing in me. And, Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would be in this place. Oh, Lord, I pray that not only these graduates, but every young person in this building, every teenager in this building, every young adult, every senior in this building would learn the principles of what I've just read. And God, make it real to me. Help me as I prayed last night and this morning once again. Lord, help me to live what I preached this morning. And God, I'll thank you. Lord, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, girl in here, I pray, God, you'd speak to them and draw them by your grace. And Lord, help every believer to, Lord, we need you in our nation. We need you in our churches. We need you, our Father, to move in individual lives. Oh, God, would you please have mercy. Point out in me every uncleanliness, every sin, everything that would grieve the Holy Ghost of God. And do the same thing for my friends. Our Father, I know that you are the only hope for personal lives, for family lives, for community, and for this nation. And God, I pray that this day would in fact be a day of rededication and repentance and, Lord, and commitment to love you and serve you. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to deal with all the verses I read to you this morning, but I do want to deal with some of them. And I want to begin with the first one that I read with emphasis here this morning. Look at verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. Trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. I want you to notice in this context what he says, first of all, about the completeness of this trust. You trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It's not good enough for you to have this part of your life to be Christian life, this part of your life to be education, this part of your life to be work, this part of your life to be recreation or enjoyment. You trust Him in all of your, with all of your heart, with all of your heart. And if you trust Him completely in the area of your life, it leaves nothing else in doubt. There's no need to trust anything else if you'll trust in the Lord with all of your heart. This is to be a real, genuine thing that you have in the completeness of it. You're trusting in Him alone. I'm trusting Him completely. Why? Because He's all in all. He is perfect everything. He has everything you'll ever need. And if you'll trust Him, everything else will fall back into line. You don't have to trust anything but Him and then trust His leadership and guidance. Even to this point, look at the latter part of that verse. He said this. He said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. I mean, I was thinking about this last night as I came out to pray. I come out pray by the crosses, and I thought about a fence post. You ride along and you'll see a pasture and you'll see posts standing perfectly straight, and every now and then you'll see one just a little bit of a lean. You may ride down the road and see trees every which way, but all of a sudden you may see one that's beginning to lean. It's not falling down. It's not totally dead or anything like that, but it's leaning that away. And he said to us, this is a point of emphasis of the completeness of our trust, not only to trust Him with all of our heart, but do not lean, don't even give a little inch to yourself or your own understanding. The Bible said, have no confidence in the flesh. We have been taught that we can do anything, and we can if we complete the verse. Paul said, I can do anything through Christ that strengthened me. But if you begin, even as a Christian, you've been faithful to God for all these years, and after a while you get to the point where you say, God, I got this. I can handle this. You remember the story that those of you who went to the Amish country, we saw Joshua, and we saw the walls of Jericho fall down. But after Jericho, he told them everything in there was to be sanctified and holy unto the Lord. They wouldn't take anything out. One man by the name of Achan took a wedge of gold, a Babylonian garment. But when it came to the next battle, a little place called Ai, they sent a few scouts up there. They came back and said, we can handle it. we can handle it. We're okay. And there's no reference in there to where Joshua nor the spies ever asked God what he thought about it. But they assumed that God was going to go with them. And they leaned to their own understanding and said, we don't even have to take our whole army. We'll just take a little group. Because they were leaning just a little bit. They were the people of God. They trusted God. They just saw God deliver the great city of Jericho into their hands. And all the people that were there, the one only one was delivered was Rahab and her family. But now they've come to little Ai, and they made a decision. We can handle it. It's not near as strong, not near as powerful as with Jericho. We can handle it. They go up, and I believe there were 35 deaths that day. 35 men who never came home to their family. They never held their babies. They never helped their teenagers to grow up. Widows wept that night in Israel, 35 in separate tents, because they leaned to their own understanding. And I tell you, just any little bit of you trusting yourself and not trusting the Lord with all of your heart, it can get you in real trouble. The Bible said the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust God. Let Him by His Word and by His Holy Spirit make it real to you. But not only do I want you to see the completeness of that trust, I want you to see the content of it. What areas are we to trust the Lord in? He said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In every area of our life, we're to trust Him. You must first of all trust Him with His pardon, your forgiveness. Because the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person in this building was born into sin. You're in Adam's race. You have an Adamic nature. You don't have to teach children to do wrong. You have to teach them to do right. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. All have sinned. You say, well, Brother Billy, if I think about the commandments, I don't think I've ever done this, done that, done the other. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible said, if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, not having any other gods before me. I think often of these chandeliers in here and the links of chain. I never counted them. I don't know now that I can because I can't see them as well as I used to could. But I just ask you a simple question. Let's assume there are 25 links in that chandelier right there. There's a wire in there. Let's discount the wire. Take the wire out. Just leave the chain, 25 links of chain. How many links in that chain would have to break before that chandelier plummeted to the floor and was decimated? One. He said, if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. Thou shalt not lie, nor bear false witness. Anybody here ever told a lie? Could have been a little white lie. Could have been a little white chain. But if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. You see, what he wanted you to understand, the law came that we might all be guilty before God, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God, because God came to save sinners. If you don't recognize your sinfulness, He'll never save you, because you have to acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and lost and on your way to hell, and that He bore your sin in His own body on the tree. You have to trust Him for your pardon. He'll save you. Not Baptist church, not Assembly of God church, Church of God, Methodist church, not baptism, not Vacation Bible School, not Awana, not just doing whatever. The only way for you to be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. You're to trust Him with your pardon. Trust Him for your provisions through school. Your mom and dad and grandparents and everybody else maybe helped you, and you may pay for your own scholarships or whatever. But in the final analysis, the Bible said every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. And so you may have identified with an individual or somebody that gave you an offering or some gift to help you. But the truth of the matter is everything we've ever received came from Him. You've got to learn to trust Him with all your provision. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He'll give you everything that you ever need, and He'll bless you with all the provisions of your life. He'll give you all the wisdom you need, all the understanding you need, all the physical things that you need in your life, monetary life. Trust Him with that. Trust Him with that. Believe God that He's going to provide you with all your provision, but not only all your provision, but for all your protection. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me." You trust Him for your protection. He's going to take care of you. Regina and I, when we pray, going any distance at all, we always pray, God, give us safe traveling mercies, watch over and care for us, keep us safe. You have to trust Him that He's going to keep you safe and protect you from the things around this world that would injure you and hurt you. You trust Him to protect you and take care of you. Trust Him for the power you need, the wisdom you need to accomplish what He wants you to do in His way. Trust Him that He's able to do that. When He left this world, He told His disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." He got all the power. He's got everything you need as a young person, as a senior. He's got everything you need. What are we going to do, seniors, about our provision? What's going to happen if we lose Social Security or whatever? We're not trusting in the government. We're trusting in God. He's going to take care of us. We've set our heart to love Him and trust Him, and He's going to do that, and He'll take care of us all the time. Trust Him not only in that, but trust Him in your prosperity. Everybody wants to be successful, and God wants you to be. He said, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. And I don't think God ever gets glory out of second-rate anything, you know. If you're going to do it right, and do it for the glory of God. You work, and when you're working, you're not working for a man, He said, but you do it as unto the Lord. They may pay you this much money or that much money or whatever, and it may increase through your year, but understand this, you're not working for money, you're working for the glory of God. And you want to honor God in it. And I would pray that God would make all of you successful, but trust Him for your prosperity and for your promotion. Because you see, there's some people who are now making way over six figures, and they're absolutely miserable. They have no joy, they have no peace, they have no rest. And there are some people who are making far less than that, and they have a wonderful relationship with the Lord. And they're happy. They have a wonderful family. They have all their needs met. They don't have all that other people may have, but they've got something the other people don't have. They've got joy and peace. Be happy. Be happy with it. And let God bless you with your prosperity. Whatsoever your hands find to do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. And God's going to bless you. He'll make you very successful this morning. But let me hurriedly mention this. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Know this plural statements in this passage of Scripture. Notice ways is plural. He shall direct your paths. That's plural. That encompasses all of your life, all the ways of your life, every small detail, your career, your mate for life, whatever you'll need physically, whatever you'll need in any other way, personally. Trust Him for that. And in everything you need, acknowledge Him. What does it mean when it says acknowledge Him? Does it mean you're going to do something and then ask the Lord to bless it? No. It means you acknowledge Him before you start the trip, before you begin to do the thing. It means you consult with Him. You seek His wisdom, guidance in everything of your life, even the smallest of details. Seek Him first before you make a decision what to do and where to go. You acknowledge Him. You're acknowledging He's the Lord of your life. He's Lord. He is the shepherd of your life. He said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." And so we acknowledge that He's our shepherd, so we'll follow Him. We acknowledge He's Lord, so we'll serve Him and be yielded to Him, whatever He wants to do. And He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life, and He's blessed your life to prosper and be in good health. All of those things He has for you. In all the ways of your life, just trust Him and trust Him and honor Him. Quick look at the next one down there in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with your substance. Everything you have and everything I have came from the Lord. And truth of the matter is, He never relinquished ownership of it. It's still His. the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He said, all the silver's mine, all the gold's mine. It may be in your lockbox, it may be in your bank, it may be somewhere else, it may be in your wallet this morning. But the truth of the matter is, everything you've got belongs to Him. And He said, if you'll honor me with your substance, whatever I've given you, you honor it me. I think of the temple when they built the temple and they brought that and gave freely to the Lord and they had great revival and great joy. And then all of a sudden Solomon realized something. He said, Lord, we didn't give you anything that didn't already belong to you. It was all yours to start with. And so you honor Him. Start as young people. Start honoring the Lord. Give to the ministers of the church. Give to the Lord. You give to the Lord through the church, through your tithe, through your missions. Get a heart for missions. Give to people in need, people in your community who have a need. God laid them on your heart, legitimate needs. Most of the time, people with legitimate needs don't ask anybody for anything. But you be God to them by letting the Holy Ghost of God lead you to be a blessing to them, and then don't tell anybody else about it. Honor the Lord with your substance and all that you do. That means you don't spend it on things that would dishonor God, disgrace God. Honor Him. And He said, if you'll do that, you'll be blessed, your barns will be filled, and so on. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. It's the last one I wanted to mention to you this morning. That means God's corrective act in your life. You and I are like Israel. The more I read of them, I don't understand why God didn't zap them a long time ago and be through with them altogether. I mean, they would get in trouble and the enemy would come. God allowed them to get them and they'd repent. And God would forgive them and over and over again. But my dear friend, you and I are going to have to be corrected. The Bible said he corrects or chastens every son he receives. He said, don't despise that. When God deals with your heart, something doesn't work out like you think it ought to. You do something out of the will of God and God has to speak to your heart, speak to your spirit. He may do something to you physically or to your family to get your attention to where you get right with God. He said, don't despise that. Appreciate that. Because there's two words in here that are very important. He said, He loves those that He chastens and He delights in them. You understand this, that regardless of what happens, He loves you and He delights in you. He delights to answer your prayers. He delights to bless you. He delights to use you. You're His chosen person and people. He loves you individually. The gifts we gave just now to the graduates, you have your name on those. But it's a good thing to have your name on a Bible or on a good devotional book. But it's a better thing to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And it's much better for Him to know your name, and He does. Would you bow with me for prayer, all of our friends in the media audience as well? We trust that God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to your heart. Trust in the Lord, first of all, for your pardon. You see, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Nobody goes to heaven without Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. My dear friend, you need Jesus this morning in the media audience and in this building. And if you're in here this morning, we'll trust in the Holy Spirit of God to do, and I know He will without even me asking Him. But He came to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and to draw you by His grace and to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to you as your only hope of heaven. I challenge you right now, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Call on Him. If you trust Him enough to save you, trust Him enough to hear you. When you ask Him to forgive you of your sin and to save you right now. Do it here in this building and in the media audience. Cry out to Him and say, Lord God, I am a sinner. If I die lost, I'll be in hell for all eternity. But you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might have everlasting life. I believe He died, was buried, and rose again. I believe He bore all of my sin in His own body on the tree. And Lord, right now, please come in my heart, forgive me of my sin, and save me for Jesus' sake. I trust you'll pray that prayer. For me and you who are Christians, these few simple admonitions this morning, perhaps there were some as we went through that you're not doing. Are you honoring the Lord with your substance? Are you delighting in His chastening hand upon you? Are you acknowledging Him in all your ways and all your paths? Are you trusting Him with all of your heart, every bit of your heart, you trust Him? We need to be where God hears our prayers. We need to be clean. I'm asking you this morning to rededicate yourself to keep all of these commitments here. Ask God to purge and cleanse you of anything that would hinder. David prayed and said, Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And went on to say at the end of that psalm, then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners will be converted. If we get right with God, God will do things. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you've been praying about a church home and you believe this is where God wants you to serve. You want this to be where, this is where God's put your heart. You want to serve here. We invite you to come. If you need to come and pray, and I know these floors, we do a Monday night prayer meeting here, and the guys, we acknowledge the fact that these congregants offer hard to kneel, but you're welcome to come and kneel around this altar. You're welcome to come and stand. If you don't know Christ, will you come? Maybe you prayed that prayer a while ago, or you need somebody to help you. We'll find somebody here this morning who'll be glad to pray with you. Maybe you just want to come as a Christian, rededicate your life to the Lord, recommit your life to prayer and seeking His face. You pray, Brother Calvin's needing some help over at the prison. Maybe God will burden your heart about that, and you come and say, Lord, could I be used there? Would you want me to be a part of that ministry? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will do in the lives of everybody here what you want to do for all our friends in the radio and the media audience. God, touch them and do a work in their heart and life as well. And God, I pray that, Lord, when we have a conviction, when we are convicted, God, that we'll have a right response to that conviction. We'll yield to you and be obedient to you. And our Father, in our obedience will come joy and peace and a power that we've never had before. So, Lord, I pray that they would do that this morning. As we pray together this morning, Brother LaVon, you're going to sing a verse for us. Brother LaVon's going to sing for us. While we stay in an attitude of prayer, let me invite you to come. You'll not be the first as a group already come here to be praying right now. I invite you to come. Gather around this altar. The Lord's leading you. You come right now.